From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 242, recorded live Wednesday, November 24th, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Pete Brown about working remotely.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today, I am talking to a fellow remote worker, Pete Brown. I am remote. You are remote. How's it going, sir?
Going well, Scott. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Now, you are in... We worked together for a long time, and I still... You're in one of the New England states.
No, I'm a little bit further south than that. So I live just right between Washington, D.C. and Annapolis, Maryland.
That's not New England.
No, but I will cut you some slack since you're from the wrong coast.
Oh, the wrong coast. Okay. How long have you worked for the Big Blue Monster?
So it's been like a year and a month, I think. So not too long.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's significant about us as Microsoft employees is that we and now your entire team are all remote workers, which is very unusual. Microsoft, I wouldn't say is necessarily remote worker hostile, but they're definitely not remote worker friendly. You know, they don't go out of their way to hire people remotely, except for our little group, which actually did go out of its way to get remote people. How has it been working for Microsoft remotely? Like, what's the good and the bad?
Well, the good is it's a pretty good gig to be able to work from my house and be able to, you know, still have all the access to people on campus and all the cool stuff that goes along with being a blue badge. The bad is, like you said, folks are not really set up either mentally or technically to be able to handle remote workers. So, you know, we struggle a lot with setting up meetings and blowing time at the beginning of meetings to set up cameras and all the usual things there. And also just, you know, scheduling people, not realizing that you're 3 hours difference from them, because not only are we remote, we're on a different coast, right? So you'll get the meeting request for 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, I'm usually trying to get my kids to bed at that time and stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. The thing you said about blowing time at the beginning of meetings, I've started to literally pull people aside on private emails and say, listen, if you want me to be in this meeting, I need you to come to the meeting room 5-10 minutes early, and then I'll help you out. Because it is amazing how you could seriously blow 15 minutes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like the first time they've ever used video chat before. It just blows their minds.
Right.
And since we're doing, I mean, I'll have, you know, 3 or 4 meetings in a day. Things like having multiple microphones, multiple output devices is like trivial for me to understand. But for everyone else, it's magic.
Yep. And you know how it is when you have like a live meeting and people can never figure out the live meeting at the beginning. Like I think every single live meeting I've ever attended has 10 minutes of struggling at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how every meeting is with remote guys.
Do you blame live meeting or do you blame the people? I blame the people.
Yeah, I don't think it's a technology. I think it's just, it's something that they don't have to do every day. So they don't have kind of the muscle memory to remember all the different things that they need to do to get it set up. Now, one thing that really helps though is, if you get to know the admins for the groups, the admins are such a saving grace for this because they'll come in a couple minutes early, like you're saying, set it up and make it so nobody else has to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that I'd like people to remember, if there's anyone who's a Microsoft employee who is listening or someone that we meet with on a regular basis, is that Windows knows about playback devices and recording devices. And every time you plug something into Windows, that's either a pair of headphones or a USB Polycom headset or a speakerphone or whatever, that becomes another output device. And those output devices usually have associated input devices. And the number one problem that I've seen is confusion about, well, what exactly is the microphone in this case? Or what exactly is the speakers in this case?
Right.
Windows 7 got a lot smarter with that. You could, when you plug something in, it pretty much assumes that the thing that you just plugged in is probably the thing you want your sound to come out of.
Yeah, I've had pretty good luck with that here. And you know, it gets a little bit more complicated in the offices though, because we've got those round table devices and folks are, you know, figure out how to interface with those. And they're extremely cool once everybody gets them up and working. But if you don't have experience with them, those can be pretty challenging.
maybe you could say something about what a roundtable device is and why they're so important to us as remote workers.
Yeah. So the roundtables, which we're getting, I think, in most of the offices now, it's actually getting hard to find offices up on campus that don't have a roundtable in it. But they're a little like stick in the middle with this kind of puck on top. And as I understand it, that puck has kind of CCDs, you know, like cameras in 360 degrees, just like a continuous sensor array, like going around it.
It actually has five individual webcams.
Is that how it works?
Okay. Yeah, it has five individual webcams, and then it stitches them together with software.
Yeah, and it does a really amazing job of zeroing in on who's actually speaking and showing you just that person, as well as giving you kind of a panorama view of the whole room.
Right.
So for a remote worker, it's awesome because you feel like you're about as close as you can be to actually sitting in the room without, you know, putting a proxy in the room for you.
Right. What's great about the roundtables that a lot of people don't realize, at least a lot of people who are using them for the first time, is that you can just plug them in and you have the drivers already. If you have Windows 7, you plug them in and you don't even need live meeting. You could literally plug in a roundtable device into your laptop and use Skype. And rather than showing a panorama, like you said, it will single in on the person who is speaking and then make that person centered within a square kind of virtual webcam. So what we see as the remote workers are as if there's like a hidden director who is saying, camera one, okay, camera three, okay, camera two, and picking the correct webcam view out of the 360 degrees and then giving it to us. So we actually see one of two things. We either see a straight square shot of whoever is speaking or the last person who has spoken. Or if you're using Live Meeting or the new Microsoft Link is spelled LYNC, then we'll actually see a 360-degree panorama like you mentioned.
Right. And it really does help from my side. The downside to those is it's one way, right? So you don't get the little kind of help me Obi-Wan projection in the middle of the room showing you there. Somebody has to go through an extra step to get you up on a screen or project your image up there.
Right. And then you end up with which is the creepy 10-foot head problem. People will go, oh, wow, I don't like that at all. And then you find that it's because your giant face is on the screen. So what I've been doing is encouraging people to make a little small window, set the window to always on top, and then keep me kind of in the corner. It's amazing. You would think it would not be obvious. You think it would be obvious, but having your face be the size that your face would be if you were there in person helps people connect to you as a remote worker, like on an emotional level.
Yep. I totally want the Jedi Council Chamber thing, you know, where you can have half the people in holograms, but they're still sitting in seats. And so it just looks like they're there. They're life size. I think that would be the ultimate way to go about it.
Apparently the Cisco telepresence is close to that. Basically, they take a big round table and then they wrap 40-inch or 50-inch screens, 1, 2, 3, across one half of it. So there's effectively two tables, each of them round in two different locations, each with half of the table backed with screens. So then you look over to that side and it looks like they're there. So that's kind of half optical illusion and half 1080p highly compressed video.
That's cool. We could do the first Superman where they had all the guys projected up on the walls, like it's super life size. That could be even better.
Actually, there's a company now called Life Size, which is a division of Logitech, and Life Size is competing in the telepresence space, and they've got multiple versions of their Life Size software that is all 1080p, 30 frames a second, or 720p, 60 frames a second, hardware compressed video. Of various sizes, and they've got like the life size executive, and they've got the life size express, and all these different kinds of life size things. I just recently got a 42-inch screen since LCDs and big television sets have become cheaper. Kind of getting back to that issue about the head size. We actually thought about flipping it on its side. You know, maybe a 40-inch or a 50-inch, something that would at least make me almost human-sized. You could have me sitting up. You basically take a monitor, rotate it, and then, you know, put a chair behind it, and you could maybe simulate someone sitting in a chair. And it sounds very geeky, but again, all of the goal here, and I'm interested in your opinion, the goal here is to help people in Seattle, in our case, connect with us on a more emotional level so that we feel more like a team and that they think about us.
Right.
The out of sight, out of mind kind of phenomenon is a huge problem.
Yeah. And what you're saying about being life size is it's amazing how kind of like psychologically how we interact with those types of interfaces. Like, you know, when you have a webcam and you're kind of looking down at the laptop webcam and everybody else sees you and you're like hovering over them. And that's kind of intimidating.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But if you have just a normal flat, life-size person in the room, then that's somebody that you can relate with. I mean, the worst end of the spectrum is a conference call with no video where half the people just check out and nobody's really paying attention. I hope that's not news to anybody.
Yeah. Right? Well, and also they have a tendency to, I know this because I've heard afterwards, you'll say something, you, the remote worker, and the people who are local will roll their eyes because you said something stupid. So what's significant about that is not, well, maybe it's significant that I'm an idiot and they hate me. But what I think is more significant is that they are more likely to do something like that, what would be considered inappropriate in person.
Right.
If they know you can't see them.
Yeah. It's amazing how as humans we deal with face-to-face interaction versus like any other type of interaction.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Damien and I, Damien Edwards, have been working on this 42-inch screen, and it might seem overkill to put together a 42-inch screen, but honestly, it was a $400 Costco kind of a thing, and it was half the price of my 30-inch monitor. It does 1080p HDMI. So we got this thing at Costco, and we took it to my office in Seattle and set it up, and honestly, it could be bigger. I mean,
right.
Really, you couldn't be too big. And if I could find a projector that was bright enough, I think I'd project up against the whole wall. Now, that would really cause you to connect with somebody. I would mount it on the ceiling and I'd project 100 inches. But we've got this 42-inch screen, and I put together a Microsoft LifeCam Cinema 720p HD webcam, and then I've also just picked up a Logitech C910 HD, and I'm basically testing these two video cams because they'll both do 720p high definition.
Right.
But they'll do it only with a quad-core processor. You need that quad-core processor. Otherwise, you need to go and buy a hardware compressed camera that'll really squish.
Right.
And it's worked so well. And we've been using it with an office communicator now called Link. And what's great about it is that I can switch from showing myself to showing my desktop. And we've been doing some pairing. And it's worked really, really well, surprisingly well. And they really told me that, what we did is we shoved me actually in the corner. That way I could see a complete view of the room. And they've told me that it's caused them to connect with me more. So I've just been doing what we did before with Phil Hack, is leave the camera on all the time that I'm sitting there so that somebody can just stop by my office and then I'll just
right.
be there.
It's the difference between, you know, you actually have a presence in that room versus somebody having to go out and like if they have to call you, then it makes it really obvious that you're not there. But if you just walk in the room and, you know, the dude on the monitor looks up and says, "Hey, how you doing?" then, you know, you have a presence in the room.
Hi, this is Scott coming to you from another place in time. Are you using agile practices to manage your software development? There's lots of tools in the market that manage the steps of a project, but most of them focus on individual roles. Get ready for a solution that caters for the success of the whole team. The guys at Telerik introduced TeamPulse. It's an agile project management tool that'll help you gather ideas, estimate, plan, track progress in a common workspace. Finally, companies, regardless of their size, can use a lightweight and convenient tool that makes all the stakeholders work as a united team, even if they're in different countries. By combining intuitive user interface and the power of Silverlight, TeamPulse removes the roadblocks that you typically face in applying Agile in an effective manner. No more lost data, no disparate systems, no lack of critical analytics regarding the health and velocity of your project. See for yourself. Get a free copy for 5 users and 1 project at Telerik.com/TeamPulse. And please do thank Telerik for supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TELERIK. Telerik. We do appreciate it. There wouldn't be a Hansel Minutes if there wasn't Telerik helping us. I recently blogged about a pan tilt zoom. There's a thing called a tracker pod. It's a $20 pan tilt zoom thing that you plug in with USB. You know, about a half an hour's work, and I've hooked up a remote pan tilt zoom, and this is going to allow me to look at the whiteboard or look out the door. And by looking out the door now, I can see people wander by.
Right.
And then what I did is I hooked up a Polycom. Polycom is kind of a standard brand for conference phones. Instead of just using regular speakers and regular mics, that makes the sound much better. And it also allows me to shout. So if someone wanders by, I can say, hey, hey, come here, you know, and then they'll come in. And, while it's a little bit of a curiosity, I mean, sure, it's kind of strange. We've got this guy in a big picture frame. I organized the office. I was fortunate enough that my boss, was flexible and organized an office at the end of a T junction. So basically you step off the elevator in building 42, you turn to the side and I'm right there and I get a lot of foot traffic. It's probably one of the most foot trafficked offices out there, which would not be a good thing if you were a dev, but if as a remote worker, it makes a big difference. While previously in building 5, my office was really at the end of a cul-de-sac.
Yep.
And no one ever stopped by. And it was very sad and lonely. And they would turn the lights off and forget I was in there.
That's actually really cool. And, you know, being able to see other bodies moving by, you know, helps you stay a little bit more connected with the people in the building and feel less isolated, I would think. You know, just having that movement off the side of the camera.
Well, isolation was one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about because I just get sad. I just get lonely out here. And you know, I'm not going to move. I will, you know, I'll quit before I move just because I've got family. I've got family here, extended family here, multiple family, nieces, nephews, yada, yada, yada. Everything is here. And, there's just a number of different reasons that I can't move.
Well, let me stop you there because that's a really good point because some folks might be listening to this and think, wow, you dropped $400 so you could put a TV in an office somewhere and how much on a camera and all this stuff. But there are definite like quality of life issues that, you know, we're trying to solve here.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, I'm on the East Coast, so my wife is not particularly interested in moving out to Seattle, so I'm going to be here pretty much indefinitely. But even if I had a local office to go to, if you just add up like the time lost, you know, commuting and then the gas cost or wear and tear, all those kind of like weird little one-off things, then that something like a $400 TV gets paid for in a week or two, right?
Well, even though I only live 250 miles from Seattle, it takes about 4 hours up and about 5 hours down. So there's, you know, 9 hours of driving, and you can figure that out, you know, how much time that takes me. And I try to have meetings and things on Bluetooth, but, you know, realistically, that's a lot of time. And mm-hmm. It takes about $250 worth of gas and about $800 worth of hotel, even at a cheap hotel, if I go up for a week.
Right.
So, you know, honestly, you're looking at just a day or two's time to pay for that big monitor. And the camera was $100. You know, I don't think I've spent more than $1,000, which is the equivalent of less than one trip up to Seattle.
Yep.
And if this allows me to save even one or two trips a year, all the better. But if I get this thing right, not only will it make my life easier and potentially save me 4 or 5 trips a year, it'll make everyone else's life easier who's remote as well, including all the people that we've got up in Vancouver, Canada, and other remote people.
Yep. I think that's really cool. And it's a point I wanted to make just because somebody might be, since there's no video here, somebody might be rolling their eyes thinking about the money that we spend on something like this.
Oh,
but
I'm sure
it's
they
totally
are.
Worth it.
I'm sure they are. Now to isolation, this obsession that I have, and I think we share, of being connected to the home office is also a way of not being, you know, too isolated. I mean, I live in a small town, and sometimes I just go down to the local sandwich shop and sit just so I can see other humans.
Right.
How much trouble do you have with that? The idea, like, I know you're not a big pair programming type, but but sometimes I'll call people just to talk to somebody.
Hey, I remember one day we were going to pair program, but we ended up basically with just having a two-way webcam idly running for like 4 hours while we each worked on different stuff. And it was, you know, there is something about having somebody around you professionally that helps deal with some of the isolation. You know, like my wife always jokes that when I'm working, the only connection that she gets is with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And eventually she just needs to talk to other adults sometimes. Exactly. So it's like a similar thing here. So, you know, I'll go out sometimes, but truthfully, I'm a bit of a hermit anyway. So I get a lot of my, my connectivity out of things like Twitter and doing all these various webcam chats with different people in the organization. Cause we end up doing a lot of meeting in our role. I mean, you know that you have those days where basically you're on the phone from, 9 o'clock in the morning till 6:30 at night.
Hmm.
So if most of those have webcams with them, and just say probably about 60% have webcams with them, then that really helps a lot. But yeah, sometimes I need to just go out to the coffee shop and hang out for a little bit and see other people.
Yeah, I think my wife thinks that when I say, oh, I'm having lunch with a friend or something, that she's like, God, this guy has lunch a lot. Why are you having lunch all the time? But when you go up to campus, like there's so much time spent with people having lunch, and they take it for granted.
Yep.
Someone will wander by your office and go, hey, we're going to lunch. And yep. Decisions get made and meeting, and things happen, and human connections occur at something as simple as lunch. So I've collected kind of a bunch of lunch people around Portland here that I'll hang out with probably twice a week, sometimes three times a week, as well as Microsoft people like Chris Sells, who is also a remote guy, just to keep from going nuts.
Right. Right. Now, the thing is, so I've only been doing this for a year at Microsoft, but I did it for a few years at my previous job, and we didn't have webcams and all the other stuff there. So I kind of had like the really hard end of it where you had a phone and IM and that was it. And so this is kind of like a lot more connectivity now at this point.
Yeah. And this is all a giant company, right? This is a big enterprise that's not used to it. If you look at a smaller company like Stack Overflow, where everyone is effectively remote, and they have a persistent IRC channel, and they've got a chat product, and they're always connected. And it is baked into their culture, not just their corporate culture, but it's also younger people, right? I mean, there's Microsoft people who've lived in what I call the Redmond reality distortion field for, 20 years.
Yep.
It's interesting. It's snowing right now, right? So it's like the great snowstorm of 2010.
Yeah, it's so, like, what, an inch of snow?
Yeah, I think it's a dusting of snow. It looks like powdered sugar, but apparently it's crippled the Northwest. I think it's the ice. Everyone, whenever I say that, they're like, hey, it's scary ice.
It's not the heat. It's the humidity.
Right, exactly. So what's happened is my trip to Seattle was canceled, and I'm looking at my chat application here, and everyone is working from home. Like, everyone's working from home. And I think this is partially psychological, partially the holidays, and partially that everything's covered in snow. But this is fun each year, because this is the Scott gets to go neener neener as I watch people struggle with working remotely, because this is the only time all the Redmond people who have been up there forever have to work remotely.
It shows that, and a lot of people are just like, oh yeah, bad weather, I'm going to work from home. And I think it shows that if given the choice, most people would spend at least a couple days a week working from home. I mean, it's just that much more efficient for the way that you work, as well as being able to make it easier to schedule around like doctor's appointments and things like that.
Well, there is that. And that is the one kind of selfish benefit that we get, which is being able to, take an afternoon off and go do something and not be seen. We both keep core hours, I'm available, pretty much 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. But blowing off work early is a really easy thing when you're working remotely.
Yeah, yeah. And it does take some discipline, right? And I think if you've done it for a bit, then you're kind of used to that. And so there's not quite so much temptation. But at the same time, it's really nice to be able to just take your kids out for that one afternoon. And I mean, you and I have both been online working at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? So, that we'll have those core hours, but we're definitely putting in the additional hours after that.
Well, I think that's actually a bad thing. I think as a remote worker, we are constantly paranoid that we're not being perceived as doing enough work. And in my experience, having, run a team, and then now you have a team of remote people, don't you think that there's a little bit of, just kind of remote guilt, and then we overcompensate by working extra hard. I find that remote people tend to be on at ridiculous hours. I mean, between you, me, John, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. is not uncommon. And I think that it is a way of overcompensating.
It really depends on the personalities, right? So you mentioned John and stuff, but I know there are a couple other people that are remote that they're on basically 7 o'clock in the morning till 5, and then you will not see them again until the next morning.
Oh, wow. I have not seen those people. That would be wonderful if I had that level of self-control.
Yeah, so I don't have that discipline. Plus, for me, the real advantage of being able to work from home is I don't have to keep those specific hours. Like, you know, if I want to take my kid somewhere in the middle of the day when everybody else is stuck in a cubicle is the best time because nobody else is there. You know, you don't have the crowds, you don't have the traffic or anything like that. So I'm going to, you know, take a chunk out of the middle of the day and then make it up later. Right. But the, you know, the people that are on at 2 o'clock in the morning and stuff, I think it has to do a lot with just, what their drive is and what their personalities are like.
Yeah.
And then there are other people with a lot of discipline. Like I said, they just do the 7 to 5 or whatever.
I struggle with, well, I mean, I don't know. This is getting into a whole other level of kind of depth and self-loathing of as the remote worker.
Tell me about your problems, Scott.
Well, gosh, here's, I just worry that, you know, one day someone's going to say, you're not doing enough. You know what I mean? And that as a remote guy, there's one level of they're putting up with us. We're remote, right?
Yep.
And, I've had people say, oh yeah, you're Scott Hanselman and blah, blah, blah. That's all. You can't have an ego about this kind of stuff, right? Everyone is very, very lucky, to have a job. Everybody.
Yep.
You know? So your goal is to provide value, do a good job, and presumably they'll keep your badge working, right? You'll be able to log in tomorrow and it still works, just like Brad,
exactly.
Like Brad Wilson says. And as a remote person, I always feel that I need to put in just that much more value to justify the remote tax. It's not really a financial tax. It's a, what I believe is a mental tax that I think my bosses think, this guy's remote though.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've heard comments from some people in the organizations that, you know, they know we've got a pretty sweet gig. And so you feel like you need to do just a little bit more to assuage that guilt and to make them realize that, hey, because we're remote and because we're who we are, we're able to give you just that much more.
Right.
And then there's the whole, well, I'm not blowing, you know, 2 to 4 hours in a car every day, like just sitting around doing nothing. So I actually do have a little bit more time to do stuff. And I'll tell you, the difference between here and where I worked before is here we're very much judged on, you know, what we're producing and our commitments. So that makes it a little bit easier than other places where, let's say that you're working like by the hour in a consulting company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to tell, you know, did you just have regular productivity for 8 hours or did you only work 2 hours and just really bust your butt for that 2 hours, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And people worry about that in those types of jobs. Whereas, like I said, since we're much more about the results, I think it makes it easier to get past that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you still like working remotely? Are you going to stick with it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, so as long as Shanti or nobody else is listening, right? So one of the things that I would really be disappointed with if I ended up moving up into Seattle is having to go and sit in an office all day. It's just sort of the way my attention span is and stuff. I do so much better with the freedom of being able to get out and work weird hours and work based on my inspiration. So, you know, if I'm inspired at, 10:30 at night after my kids go to sleep to go and do something, I can do it. And it's not like I had to go into an office to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I'm going to keep doing it while I provide value and while I, you know, help out the community, but, I have no doubt that whenever it's time to leave, it's probably going to have something to do with being a remote worker.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we probably have a definite cap as far as how far you can go and still not be a warm body in an office.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that cap is yet, but I'm sure we'll find out at some point.
Well, I'm hoping that if I can wait it out until more and more and more remote people come in, and hopefully because of some of the work that we're doing, we're going to make it easier for remote workers. So the more remote people that come in and prove that it's possible, and whether it's a portal or a robot or a webcam on a Roomba, The things that we are doing to make remote workers more a part of the culture, at least at this giant company, the better chance it is that we'll be able to work here longer.
Yeah, and to be clear, those need to be the right kind of people, right? So we've all had experience with the remote workers that just they think they have the free day, right? So if you have the right kind of people, that gives you everybody else the right impression of these types of folks, and it makes it better for anybody else who comes in afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for chatting with me, remote worker. I appreciate it.
Thank you, remote Scott.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.